I can give you at least 12, maybe even 13 reasons why I loved the season finale of Doctor Who Series 10. And we're going to talk about The Doctor Falls tonight on AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show. Geronimo!
Yay. You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh. Hey there, Whovians. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show. Yeah, I thought I'd
Yeah, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, it's almost like this is relevant to the very last thing that we saw on Doctor Who. I'm so excited to get into tonight's episode. Guys, I'm your host, Zach Wilson. Let's get through introductions. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Tari Miller's right here.
Hi, I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, T-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
Ooh, and I'm Dave Child. You can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com, because I'm Dave Child.
All right, Bird Boy, calm down.
All right. Hi, I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow, and that's MSADRINSNOW.
Okay, guys, let's get into Season 10, Episode 12, The Doctor Falls. I call it the finale. It's sort of the finale. It's also not really the finale. Yeah.
It's a finale for now. Yeah, it's a finale for like a couple of months.
6 months.
Yeah.
It's a finale for majority of the characters we saw.
Yes. Yeah. It's the weird thing that Doctor Who, that happens with Doctor Who, with the Christmas special being a solid thing that is just always going to happen now. And Moffat's choice to almost always use it as a plot heavy episode as opposed to a standalone. So in this case, in my mind, the Christmas special is the finale. Anyway, we're here to talk about The Doctor Falls. I loved this episode with a couple tiny nitpicks that we'll get to later, because I just want to talk about how much I loved it right now.
Yeah.
All positives.
I got those nitpicks.
What did you guys think of this episode? Just quick overall thoughts.
I mean, I liked it. I really liked it. I was worried because I tend to not like the second parters of Moffat, and I think that it's I think this one was really strong. I like that it took its time. I like that it was a lot of talking in a room, which normally I wouldn't, but I feel like, especially on finales, in the past we've had it so it's like bigger and it's kind of more extravagant over quality, and this one was just like characters we're fascinated with and we know talking to each other and having intense conversations with one another, and I kind of like that.
Yeah I really liked all of the character development-y stuff, like especially between Missy and the Master. That stuff, I think I could have watched a whole season of them just hanging out,
right?
And I also really liked the emotional stakes throughout the whole thing. Like, there are times when I feel like, nah, it's the Doctor. He'll find a way out. But this time, like, you felt how dire it was.
Yeah.
So, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it overall. You know, I think I had some things that I was kind of like, but majority of it I did like. I think a big thing is that there were things that were played on this episode that I wish had been more developed earlier before for me to have more of an emotional reaction to. It doesn't mean I didn't have an emotional reaction, but overall, you know, there were just some things, especially with Bill and Doctor, that I wish had been a bit more developed. Like, their relationship, even though they had a great one, a bit more developed overall.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right. Why don't we start off with Bill and the Cybermen. That was like the big through line of these episodes, and then we're absolutely going to get into the Doctor and the question of why is he so resistant to regeneration this go around. The Master and Missy as like a true duo in this, in the craziest, just like, this is Doctor Who being Doctor Who. We're gonna get into all that, but let's start with Bill. Because the way that I was fascinated by the way that this was written and the way that directed. It was directed by Rachel Talley, who also directed the first part of this as well. What did you guys think of the way that we sort of bounced back and forth between seeing Bill as she saw herself with the perception filter on versus the Cyberman Bill?
I liked it because I felt like, for one, I did not want to have all this emotional conversation with a Cyberman and just like with that, my feelings, but I love you, how, why? That would just be a painful whole episode.
Yeah.
But also, it's, you know, we got to see, Pearl Mackie. I knew it and I didn't say it. Pearl Mackie really, you know, she got to have a presence in this episode because of that. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't just someone behind a mask. It was weird because I felt like, I know what they're going with the retro Who feeling, and it was nice last episode, but in this episode it just felt a little cheap and weird.
Oh, really?
Like, I felt like the face was great and scary. I like how we couldn't see past it, but every time they did, there was a few shots where they would have Bill, like, look forlornly out a window and turn to the side, and that outfit from the side just looked like a jumpsuit with like some things attached to the front,
right?
And that kind of, but I mean, that's one of the things that I'm like have a hard time getting into retro Who, because it just kind of, I have a hard time. Cheap. Yeah,
you can see the seams on a lot of old.
Yeah, so I felt like I wish it was a little bit creepier.
Interesting.
Like I wish she looked scarier. And not as, like, the cheapness kind of makes it look a little sillier.
Sorry. I actually like the Manda, especially now, since we've had the, like, super-duper armored Cybermen. Because, especially with the origin that they've given them, we know that they were basically slapdash together. And so, like, how they are now is basically the idea is that the Master took all these parts from this ship and essentially just threw them together, and that's the design. So I liked that they seem so piecemeal.
You know what I kind of wish happened? And I know this is a little backseat driving, but it would have kind of been nice if she just felt like she could take off the suit.
Uh-huh.
And so she took off, like, that little flimsy skin, and you just saw a skeleton arm. Or, like, just a robot arm, like a Terminator arm type thing, and then she realized she is hardly a body underneath there.
Yeah,
something like that would have been just like, oh wow, she really doesn't exist and you can't save her anymore.
Yeah, right.
She's still a family show though,
but there,
but like in that Doctor Who way where it's like a robot, not like a skeleton. Bones.
But ultimately, like, I think what really made this fun to watch was that, like, all that stuff aside, getting to watch Pearl Mackie deal with this, what made it shine through all the silliness of the Mondasian Cybermen, like, outfit, was sort of like you forget about it after.
Yeah, that's true. Bit. I mean, that was just a little bump, and then I was fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bump.
I'm all positivity today.
Yeah. I mean, it was good, and I really liked the, when she looked at the Cyberman in the mirror, and that's why I have Man in the Mirror stuck in my head after watching that episode. But that was a good moment. And the fact that she couldn't understand why people were scared of her and how she was on the inside compared to how she was on the outside. All of that was pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the being shot at and just like the saddest, like, well, I guess I'll go then.
And then not getting angry because of that big weapon on her head. And that'll blast through the... I kind of wish they paid that off a bit more, but, like, at least it meant that she couldn't do... Yeah. Everyone was scared of her.
I mean, that is interesting, because if you think about it, there were, like, some strange, like, interesting racial undertones to, like, what she was going through that people were just... I'm sorry, guys, I'm going to go there.
No, I get it.
And yeah, I kind of saw it, too. Yeah,
I don't think the show was doing... It was, that was an accident. I think that was very,
like,
cool.
And it just kind of like this... you know, people are just afraid of her solely on how she appears, regardless of her personality or who she is on the inside. But they've been taught that, they've been conditioned in a way to believe that because she is a Cyberman, that she is a threat and that she will be violent inherently. So, like, as a black woman, I was kind of like, oh. Like,
and I think from her perspective, it also plays to her as a lesbian.
Yes, like, exactly.
They're genuinely, and like... It's very loud in the news, like, today on both fronts. But, like, the idea of people who are gay coming in and like, oh my God, they're going to ruin our society. They're going to change everything. Yeah. People like,
yeah.
just look at that one factor. Don't see the person
mm-hmm.
and the fact that they're good.
Yeah. yeah. There's like, in the gay community, I feel like there's more of like that. It's like sick, but this idea that they're an infection, that they're going to come in and change you and infect you. And so that's the Cybermen part as well.
Yeah.
Whereas within the black community, it's more of, this person's going to enact some type of violence against me just yeah. by their very presence. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate mm-hmm. those tones that were played with as well.
Yeah.
And I was so happy that I didn't have to deal with the Cybermen voice as well, or just like her being a Cyberman the whole time, because that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to see Pearl Mackey be Bill, and just right. that emotional scene between her and the doctor in the barn. I live for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also thought that little girl was going to end up actually being Bill. So
that kind of seemed like
they
right?
chose
it. For a second, I was like, are they going to do some weird like time loop thing?
They did, only because like, especially just her hair
yeah.
was so just like that. If you told me that she was playing young Bill in like a photo, just like put the characters next to each other, be like, yeah, of course, that's...
You know what it might be is like, oh, how can a little version of myself even be scared of me? Because mm-hmm. if they had cast, like, mm-hmm. a little white kid, even, mm-hmm. it would have seemed like, oh, this must be because of
the color of
skin.
But she's not. If anything, she's more of a facsimile for how Bill actually behaves. Because, what was her name? Elite?
Elite.
Yeah. Elite. Is fearless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like, oh, there's Cybermen outside, like, we're shooting them because they're going right. to, like, hurt. The Scarecrows are back. Ooh, let me see.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only one who like goes up to Bill without even hesitating.
So it does seem like a little Bill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like what you were talking about too, because it seemed like they were building that almost every single episode this season mm-hmm. has had a moment like that
yeah.
where she's had to address her own race and sexuality mm-hmm. through like looking at aliens and robots mm-hmm. and all the people they meet on the Doctor Who spectrum. So the fact that she is now a Cyberman herself was really, it felt like a culmination of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they finally set the name of the President of the United States this episode.
Right.
Which it took them all season. I was like,
I felt like that was Moffat going, I'm out. I'm just going to say it. I'm out. Bye.
I actually could have, I mean, like,
it was a little
I understood the point. I only didn't like it because it dated the episode.
I also mm-hmm. didn't like it because he said Donald Trump is inevitable. And that kind of bothered me.
I understand the point that was being made there, though, that, like, at a certain point, even in, like, whether the society, like, in any society, somebody with those abhorrent views mm-hmm. on the world,
yeah.
somebody like that will come to mm-hmm. power at some point.
Right.
And it's about yeah, what you do when it happens and how the world changes because yeah. of it, whether it goes down that path and continues into bad, or mm-hmm. if it ignites the good in most people
yeah. Yeah.
to be better than this example that they've
that's
been
given. That's a good
given.
Point.
And I think in terms of it being dated, that's something that... Well, we'll see in 4 years. But it's something that, like people will... Yeah. Like, when people... Never mind, I'm not going to say that reference. But when people, you know, if it's a good time, if it's a bad time, if it unites people, if it doesn't unite people, it's a big moment mm-hmm. that people will, I think, kind of not look at it as dated, but look at, oh, yeah, that was at that time.
I didn't mean right. dated yeah, as yeah. in, like... I just mean it, like, it roots this in this year.
Okay.
As opposed to, like, letting...
Making it timeless.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a few other jokes and moments that were kind of dated it for me mm-hmm. in this episode. Like, there was one that was really bad that was the Ultimate Apple Update, where they were talking about throwing the apple yeah. and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's putting it at a time.
Well, period. That's only going to get more relevant as Apple takes over.
I heard it the second time. I didn't hear it the first time.
Yeah.
Also, that joke could be made from the 80s till now.
I guess. It just kind of felt as...
I mean,
I just think it was a cheap joke.
Same, yeah, all right. Same with them.
Moving forward, because there's so much to talk about in this episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to talk about Bill and her yeah. love.
The pilot.
The pilot, mm-hmm. whose name I just blanked
Heather.
On. Heather, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah,
I had a question because we were talking also, as we get to that too, we were talking last episode about how we were kind of worried about it being a damned if you do, damned if you don't, with her turning into a Cyberman. Mm-hmm. Do you think they were able to save that? Because mm-hmm. they were able to have her be saved and yet also be damned at the same time?
I'm curious to hear your guys say, especially because I can see Adrian's face.
Yeah.
It was beat for beat what they did last season. And that was what I said. I was like, if they save her, like, they already did this the year before. So that's going to be frustrating. It doesn't mean I didn't want Bill to be saved, but I mean, it was someone else who was like at this point supernatural, who came in, saved Bill, and now they're on an adventure, and that's exactly what happened to Clara. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, oh.
What was her Deus Ex Machina in that sense, in Clara's? I kind of forget.
It was the second TARDIS, and it was, well, technically her Deus Ex Machina was the Doctor saving her between the heartbeats.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
then her going off on the adventure was her and me essentially using the new TARDIS. Yeah.
Yes, okay.
But, but that's the thing. Like, I actually disagree that this is a Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
I've been very clear on my views about how they handled it last season. Mm-hmm. I genuinely love the way that they handled it this season because this was clearly laid out and there was a plan and when you go back and you look, the hints are there. The pieces have been, Moffat has been slowly layering in what he's been planning from the start of this story. The tears back from the pilot episode, like, that all connects. It makes it within the Doctor Who universe and with Doctor Who's flexibility on how the stuff works.
Right. Yeah.
It makes sense story-wise. Yeah. The idea that because the liquid ship pilot can, like, take your, like, mind and separate it from the physical of your being. That's what we sort of established there.
Mm-hmm.
It is a clean way to get her out of the Cyberman form because she was holding on to herself. So she's removed from the physical things that were reprogramming her brain.
Yeah. Right.
It certainly wasn't slapdash by any means.
And we got the tear, because we got the tear question mark towards the end, earlier in the episode, and we saw it last week.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. The one thing that I sort of like, I choose to just like rewrite a little bit in my head that I'm like, just don't do that, was the offer of, we can just go back and be normal and like make chips and all that. Cause like, that's like, no, like make this like she's just in this ship now. And I took it as more of like a, she can't really do that, but like Heather is like offering her that as a soft way to let her into this.
I think they're leaving the door open for Pearl Mackie to potentially come back as a companion if that's something that's negotiated behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they would do that. I hope they wouldn't. I would hope she'd still stay supernatural. Yeah. But with that said, I also felt that the relationship between, and I think I said this very first episode, I wish they had developed the relationship between her and Heather more.
Yes.
Even if that had been something where they made that a two-parter, because we had so many two-parters.
Right. Well,
you know,
I think Moffat knew that they needed to do that more when he started getting this episode in the editing room.
Mm.
And this is where I'm going to get a little mad. Because BBC America, all right, BBC America executives, you and I, we got to have a little chat about this year and this season, how you air these episodes. Because I actually watch this on cable. I am one of the people that helps support you via advertising and all that. Because I watch it on television, live, not via download. But when you air, when you have your emotional crescendo moment of, like, Bill survived because Heather showed up, and it's this, like, I thought it was a beautiful moment, a beautiful way to wrap up her story, and then you just cut it to, hey, here's an extra scene from 12 episodes ago that we never showed you. In case anyone who is listening doesn't know what I'm talking about, after the moment where Bill is pulled from Cyberman, Heather talks to her,
it cuts to
this is a BBC America extra scene, and it shows us a slightly extended version of the scene in the bar from the pilot where they first meet. Yeah. And the only thing that happens in this extra scene is that they stare at each other just a little bit longer. Apparently the doctor was there jamming out on his guitar.
Yeah, it was like the end of Twin Peaks, the current Twin Peaks.
I don't know that reference.
No, I'm not spoiling anything. But it's just like how in the current Twin Peaks, how it always goes to the roadhouse and you always have people playing and kind of staring at one another and it doesn't really make sense. It was like that, where it's like, thanks, cool, we got that moment.
Oh. Yeah.
And then when it cut back, and I just watched this, so this just happened to me, and when it cuts back, you even hear the music, because you have that wonderful, like music from when Heather shows up, cuts to the scene, and it comes back, and you just hear, like it goes back to the music.
Yeah.
It was not meant to put a scene in there.
No, it totally disrupted the flow of the episode. And that's not even to mention the little weird, like, hey, here's a flash of what's coming up in, like, the next piece after commercial break. BBC America, you have literally edited spoilers into your broadcast while I'm already watching your show. I get that you want me to stop on, like, as I'm fast-forwarding through commercials. It doesn't have to be a spoiler in there because you've literally spoiled plot twists with that.
It's okay. It's all right. It'll be okay.
I know.
You broke the wall already. You smashed your TV.
Yeah, right.
We get it.
All right. Thank you, everyone. I apologize for going off a little bit. That's been building up all season.
If you want that emotional build, just check it out on Amazon.
Yeah, just watch it on Amazon, yeah. I guess.
It's very emotional.
What you're training me to do here, BBC America.
Yeah.
I just wanted to slam my fist into the snow and yell, no! Let's talk about the doctor.
Before we move off, Heather, totally, I did also want to say, I think the reason why they put in that, if you want to go back, you can, is so it doesn't seem like Heather is just kidnapping her. Because it kind of like, if they make it so this is how you're saved, but you gotta be with me forever, oops. It's gonna be kind of weird. But if the fact that they made like, or I could take you back, and if you want to go home, and then I'll just continue being the pilot.
That's fair.
That's cool too.
That's fair.
It's all safe, you know, but I love you, so maybe you stay with me. That's
okay. I also just thought it was weird that she also left when the doctor was passed out. I was like, really? What's with people leaving the doctor passed out?
She doesn't quite... they made it so they were...
At least she gave him a kiss.
She also doesn't quite understand regeneration. Like, it was never fully explained to her, weirdly. Like, there was so many moments where I think the doctor could have been, hey, this is what happens when I die.
Right.
But because I think he kind of, as we're seeing now, doesn't really want to regenerate, he didn't want to explain it. Mm-hmm. So she really thought he was dead.
Yeah.
And was just like leaving a dead doctor. She does not understand that he'll come back. And she even says, I can't imagine you not coming back because it feels like you'll always be there. Mm-hmm. But you're probably not. You're dead. So I'm going to leave you in your spaceship and go away. Yeah. So she just doesn't know.
Yeah.
It's a good thing she didn't decide to like burn the spaceship with him.
Let's bury him. He must have been buried before. Like, as
I would imagine. Yeah.
I don't think he has. We've seen all of his.
I guess,
That doesn't happen, like, off-screen somewhere.
Because I guess we've even seen his transformation to the War Doctor now.
But,
who knows? I also thought that, just with Heather, before we move off to the Doctor, it is wacky that she's an all-powerful being, but I do like that the tear was kind of a, I'm going to keep tabs on you moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it made it so, to me, even though I said Deus Ex Machina before, I really don't think it actually was. I think they really did set it up. So.
It's not.
It wasn't slapped.
Last year was a Deus Ex Machina because they had done nothing to pre-establish what... And we keep using that word. In case anyone's not familiar with that term, it refers to a story point that just... Something that comes in conveniently out of nowhere to just save the day, even though there was no... It just appears. There's no previous build-up or story point to show it up. Last year, that's what happened because there was nothing like, oh, well, I can pull people out and stop the between heartbeats and that's a way to keep people alive. It was just like, this is a thing that exists now.
This seems like a bookend. It was a beginning and an end of a story.
Yeah, this was something...
Someone even used the same director.
Yeah.
So that kind of implies that they thought it out. My only issue.
Well, same director's last week.
Did Rachel Talalay
do the pilot as well?
I thought you said that.
She directed last week's episode. Oh, okay, I don't remember if she directed. I can look that up, actually. Okay. I have a computer
but
yeah.
on me. But no,
while he's doing that, kind of going back to the gripe about the established relationship between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish that they had kind of had a few more moments where she was kind of thinking about Heather, or like maybe I didn't need them to go as far as like every time Bill cried, have Heather's like head pop up and then like pop back down and you go back. Right. But like just some other method of
who's crying? Oh, I'll be back. it's not dire yet. Heather out.
But yeah, like, because there had to have been points where Bill was crying during her Cyberman surgery. Right. Like, things like that.
The monks.
So, like, I just wish that there was a little more establishment between.
Especially since they seem like they put a lot of effort into setting up the mom for the monks moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That if they, maybe if they took some of those mom moments and changed them to Heather moments, just being like, man, I wish I had someone as good as Heather. Well, that was great.
Yeah, I actually would have loved to see. Yeah, I would have loved more of Heather.
Yeah,
I think
it could have even been something where they were, you know, at the beginning stages of the relationship, and we were kind of coming into the middle of it,
right.
Or just something to give me just more of a through line. Because I also felt like with the mother, that was kind of wasted because they did all this kind of stuff with the doctor taking the pictures.
Didn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
it went to the monks thing.
Overall.
Yeah, so she can use her mom powers on the monks. It was kind of.
I thought Bill was underserved, and Capaldi to a certain extent was underserved this season.
Tyler C. in the chat asks, was Pearl Mackey's time as Bill always meant for one season? I don't think that it was necessarily meant for one season, but mm-hmm. I think after they started going, they knew that they were going to give Chris Chibnall more or less a clean slate to take over.
Whatever he wants.
Just like Moffat had when he took over the show, and I think it benefited him. And that's, like, for me personally, I think the strengths of seasons 5 and 6 was that there was just, like, there was no baggage. It was just, like, start with the Doctor Who mythology and go.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm excited. I'm actually really excited to see what that can look like again, because we haven't had that. There's always been either a companion carryover or a Doctor carryover between seasons since season 5 when Matt Smith started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Chris Chibnall is, he's the Broadchurch showrunner, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it'll get darker.
Ooh.
Ooh. I looked, I did at one point a little examination of his episodes that he had written up until then, and his episodes were actually fairly, they were serious in terms of like what they were, like they dealt with some issues and stuff, but they didn't tend to be the darkest episodes.
Oh, okay.
But the show has gone darker, so it could go in any direction. Especially if he's coming off of
Broadchurch.
Like, he's just in that mindset, like, all right, this is a detective show.
So let's
now.
Start. It starts with child murder. Okay.
Let's move forward, because we got to talk about the Doctor.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to the Master and Missy, but there's so much fascinating stuff around, like, why. So, the Doctor is. For the first time that I can remember, like, I don't want to go aside.
Yeah.
Like, he actively is, like, refusing to regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
He's treating regeneration as a negative.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's, to me, it felt like he has, especially Capaldi, showed a lot of growth. It seems like he's now a very mature, very competent and heroic Doctor more than he has in the last couple of generations of himself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he feels like he's finally grown to a place that he feels comfortable, and so he just wants to stay there as much as possible, because he knows the next one could just be a reboot and a change that he doesn't want to see.
Yeah. It's like going through puberty all over again.
Mm.
Like, you get to a nice place, and then you're essentially, your whole body changes, your personality changes.
And you have to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer. I also feel like you wouldn't have gotten it as much with Matt Smith, because he was the one who was avoiding all of his problems. And he was also the one who was, like, he was ready to die. Mm-hmm. So he didn't expect to regenerate, so it didn't matter to him.
Mm.
So, like, I think it makes sense that, like, Tennant was very, like, settled in, and he was also very dark. And I think he parallels Capaldi a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like that's that kind of is why he doesn't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that reference was, he had the reference he when he was regenerating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he had I Don't Want to Go, and what are the other two? What were the other two references?
It was... Centaurans are perverting the course of human history, which is, yeah, is a fourth Doctor. I Don't Want to Go, Tenant. And then I Will Always Remember When the Doctor Was Me, which was Matt Smith's last line as the Doctor. Okay, he was like, so it was just like other regeneration moments like popping into his brain as he like woke up in regeneration cycle.
Yeah.
Which I feel like the Time Lord in regeneration is almost like an existence of itself that like only shows up between their lives, and it's like it suddenly connects to all of those other points in time when they regenerated.
Mm-hmm. I completely understand why Peter Capaldi didn't want to go. I read the article or the review on, I think it was AV Club, where they talked about how it was kind of like the Doctor got to be himself. Like, everything we've seen since William Hartnell to now has just been like a midlife crisis for the Doctor. And so for him to kind of look as he looked at the beginning, you know, at this, essentially the same age as he was at the beginning of the series, because Peter Capaldi was 55 and William Hartner was also 55 when they took over the roles. Mm-hmm. For him to have to come face to face with that older, the only other oldest version of the Doctor is kind of fitting. It's like, I finally accepted that this is who I am, and you know, and that I'm kind but stern, and I don't have to, you know, what, who was it? River Song? Somebody said, oh, the lizard woman. What's her name? Dang it.
Vastra?
Yeah, Madame Vastra.
When she told Clara that the face that he had when he was Matt Smith was for her. It was for the people around him to make them feel better. But it wasn't the Doctor, and that like that from season 8 or series 8.
Right.
So it was nice to see that Peter Capaldi was, I think Peter Capaldi, even though David Tennant is my life, is who I imagine the Doctor to truly be.
Right.
And to finally come back to that after all these years. Like, he's like, I just don't want to do it again. Like, I don't want to be
young or,
well, I mean, Peter Capaldi is super handsome, you guys. But, it's just like he's who he wants to be now.
Yeah.
So I got that.
When he came into this space, he said he chose it for a reason. And so, like, I'm just adding on.
Mm-hmm,
Yeah. God, I feel like they're setting up for a female Doctor.
There's literally a line where it's like, is the future going to be all girl? We can only hope.
We can only hope. Yeah. And also, when he starts flashing to the people in his life that are, like, really important to him.
Except for Jack Harkness.
He was the one person, and then everyone else was, like, a woman. Enough to the point where it was like, whoa, these are all women.
They were all his companions. Yeah. Except Rory. Rory was the only one missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was the weird thing, is that, like, they really got everybody who traveled with him in the TARDIS for any period of time.
Because they even
Mickey and Rory were... And Mickey's, like, even looser of a companion because he was so spotty, but Rory was consistent once he got in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
I think there was also just a focus on, like, because you saw Missy and you saw folk. I feel like there was a very female focus, and Jack was in there just to kind of throw us off the scent a little bit.
Well, they've been hinting at it for a while, even when last season when he goes back to Gallifrey and he has to kill the lieutenant, general.
Rassilon? Was that Rassilon?
No. Rassilon's like the villain that he's like going after, but the other one was just a general who was like, it's been an honor, and he like regenerates. And when he comes back, he's a black woman, and she's like, oh, God. That was horrible. She's like, first time being a man, so much ego.
I
hope they, like, you're hinting at it.
Me. But what we do have in this episode, I want to dive more into the first Doctor, the appearance of the first Doctor, which, like, has been, as soon as they announced David Bradley was going to be in, everyone was like, oh, so the first Doctor's going to be in.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it's a really cool idea. So basically, 10th Planet, which we talked about last week a little bit, the episode where the first Doctor, dies, and then we see his first regeneration. There is actually a time jump. Not jump, but, like, there's a moment where the Doctor goes off screen. And this, if we assume that we are in the Antarctic base where that all took place, which seems very reasonable at this point, because the first doctor comes out saying, "I will not change. I will not. The whole thing's ridiculous." Like, because it's his first time going through it, and he's like, "I absolutely don't want to do this. Like, why would I want to? He's never been through it before." After he starts to feel weary, starts to wear thin, he goes out of the base, and then we don't see him until he's found by the companions in the TARDIS, like, laying on his back, like, basically dying on his last breath. After he leaves the base, before he gets back to the TARDIS, there is time for him to disappear and then just do whatever. So I think that's where we are. And so we can take the Hartnell doctor and go wherever from here with two doctors now who don't want to regenerate.
I don't know where the hell
we're gonna go with that, but I am totally on board for that ride.
Right. It's also, I mean, like you said earlier, there is that moment in regeneration where he's kind of connected to his past selves. So there's a chance this is just him having a conversation with, like, one of his past selves.
Oh, like when,
as he's trying to figure that out.
Like when Tom Baker came in for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah. And they got to have a conversation. You are me.
Yeah. I was that like, whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for whatever they're setting up here because I also like the idea of a whole episode where he's dying. I don't know. That feels like it's like, I really thought we were going to get maybe a new doctor at the end of this. And then the Christmas episode will be the intro to the new doctor.
Yeah. Right? I really thought that for a big chunk of this episode, I thought they were honestly going to surprise us.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, here's the new doctor. And the internet would melt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I also think that this is nice because this is kind of, we're going to have like a King Lear episode where he's like raging at the storm and not wanting to go and freaking out and then coming to terms that he has to move on. And
David Tennant did. He had a whole episode where he was dying.
Right. Right.
Like,
and technically he was dying from like the top of this episode.
Yeah. He's been.
Anyway.
Well, yes.
That was like him shaking everyone's hand.
It was a Cyberman, right? That got him. Like when the first Cyberman who got him and
was saved from Bill. Like, I think that was he died there. Yeah. Or he started dying there. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he keeps getting blasted. And then
I thought that was Bill at first. The second one that kept blasting. I was like, oh my God, did Bill.
She turned.
Yeah. I wish they just wrote Bill on her forehead or something. Right? Like, every time they showed up, people were freaking out and being like, oh, right, that's the good one. Let's just put, like, a little flower.
Or, like, just, like, some Sharpie.
Yeah, just something, like the good one, Bill.
That's a little, that's not good.
Yeah,
not
that.
Yeah.
Maybe a sticker.
Layering.
I just think of Rick and Morty when, like, there's alternate Ricks traveling. Right. And it's like, okay, I'm going to put a red X on my forehead so that you know that we're not the bad ones.
Yeah.
See the red X. That way, if there's a shoot off, you know who's not the bad. Like, it's just like, we have a plan for this. It's not that very complicated, especially when you've been through as many multi doctor things as this guy has.
Yeah, I felt that as soon as I said one of the good ones, I'm like, oh yeah, there is definitely some racial tension to this whole episode.
But speaking of multiple Time Lords, let's talk about the Master, Missy, and we can circle back and we'll talk like more predictions and theories towards the end. But this was fun.
Yeah, I was so happy that Johnson hit on himself. I was like, thank you.
Repeatedly.
That's just kind of what I wanted. I thought it'd be hilarious. So it was awesome.
I love how he just like, he was questioning his everything towards Missy. Like, he really just wanted to. He really
and they
wanted
definitely
to have
made
sex
a,
with Missy.
They definitely made like a hard-on joke, right?
Yeah, they definitely made a boner
joke.
Wait,
I missed the boner joke.
Oh yeah, it was like, hey, is it weird that I? And then they looked down, and she was like, "Yes, it is."
My completion of that sentence heard it was just like, is it weird that I want to do this?
I think that was their "it's okay" censors.
Yeah,
but it was definitely boner.
If you just heard it and you weren't watching, you wouldn't get that. Right. But the moment you see him kind of like look down and look up, and then she looks down and she looks to the side, I'm like, oh, that's a boner joke.
Yeah. Hey. Now we're good.
And we had this debate last week, so we don't need to get into it again. Right, yeah, if you want our views on whether or not it is okay to have sex with an alternate timeline version of yourself, or future version, or past version of yourself.
We talked about it as making out with one.
Yes.
But yes.
Either way, we did it last week, so we're going to move on. The big question in this is, whose side at any given moment was Missy on?
I think she was trying to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah, and so, like, at one point she says, I don't know.
Yeah.
When she's asked, like, directly. Do you take that at face value, that she legitimately doesn't know?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think that there's the, like, it's the age-old battle of the person who you want to be versus the person that you are, even though it's, like, literally personified in her best friend and her former self, you know. Or you could also see it, if you want to, through the spectrum of, like, it's like her ex-boyfriend and her current boyfriend, you know. One is a badass and the other one's
good
for
her. Let's just go with the yourself versus
I like that one. I like that one more. I feel like she legitimately is trying to be a better person, but, like, one, she's also an opportunist. And so she was on whosoever side felt like the winning side. But overall, she really, really wanted to be on the doctor's side, but it didn't seem fortuitous.
Right.
It was like when Zaid, the end of Neverending Story Part 2, has to get a heart. And it, like, overwhelms her, so she destroys her own castle. Anytime I can bring that up, I bring it up. But
spoiler alert.
It was kind of like, oh, if you haven't seen Neverending Story Part 2 by this point, like, let it go.
I was just going to watch it on Friday.
Darn it. It was one of those things of just, like, once she started to have those feelings, like, I think she referenced it way back, that she didn't enjoy having empathy, and that it was, like, this whole new thing. You can't stop it. Once the train is out, you have to go along with the ride. And so John Sim hasn't experienced that, and I totally understand why he was like, ooh, no.
Yeah.
I do not want that. Like, that sounds horrible. I don't want you to feel this. I'd rather you die than, like, go inside with the doctor, just because feelings suck, you guys, and it causes people to destroy their own castles and themselves, because it's just too overwhelming. And that's kind of what I felt like was...
Yeah.
That's what I felt as I watched it.
Emotions are poison to the psyche.
Right. And it's also like, I just want to... He still thinks he wants to win.
Yeah.
And he still wants to win over the doctor, even if that means killing himself, because he knows that if he stands with the doctor, if he comes back...
He's lost.
Then in his mind, the doctor wins.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. There, I got the sense that there was almost something... Maybe it's just psychological. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was something even stronger. Just like being by her... But Missy being by the master sort of just, like, forced her into being the master again. It was like, it's like drug relapse in a way. Like, when it's right in front of them, right in front of you, it's hard to say no to the thing that you were addicted to. And for her entire life, she's been addicted to this evil war path.
Yeah.
And it's easier to slip back, than to take the hard path and be better. And as soon as he, like, gets knocked out, maybe it's that she feels like she has to prove herself to herself.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, old me would totally not be a, like, we sometimes, actually, I feel like that is definitely something that I've thought about. Like, what would me from 10 years ago say about me right now?
Yeah, I live my life basically on the whole concept that, does my 5-year-old version of me approve of this? And if it's a no, then I had to really consider it. I'm like, if it's a no. But no, yeah, I think it's something where, I forgot what I was going to say about it, but the, she even said it. She says, like, you know, I loved being you. She's like, you burn like the sun. Like there is something exhilarating about, if you ever in your life, even minimally broken bad, like, just gone, like, I'm just gonna be bad for even
it
a month.
It feels great. Or do it, everyone.
You know, like when you're just like, especially like in your teen years, when you're like, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, if you're a teenager, rob a store. Don't rob a store.
I'm going to try drugs. Like, and it feels great. But you also know, this is not a sustainable life. Right. Like, I cannot do this every day. But anytime you get like break a rule or anything like that, it feels good. But to do it all the time, it would make you kind of, you would have to kind of become a psychopath to like, in order to sustain it. And so it was nice to see her kind of be like, yeah, but this isn't who I really am.
Right.
Like, the doctor knows this isn't who I really am. And I felt overall this season set up the fact that the master is just not a pure villain. And none of the villains on Doctor Who ever are pure villains. They're complicated and they've gone down this path for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I actually really, like, now this episode painted so much of Missy's previous actions, in that when she does her initial Cyberman plot, which, one, makes sense why she was with the Cybermen when she first shows up.
Yeah.
But also, like, her whole plot was essentially to go, was essentially to make the Doctor feel like crap so that she could feel like they were on the same level. Mm-hmm. Right. It was the first step of her being like, hey, I want to be friends again. Can we do this? You're not better than me. So we can be friends. Mm-hmm. And then, so like, she's been arcing this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that this is how it culminated. Especially, though it kind of made all of the like, master stuff feel jarring to me. Because everyone in this episode was arcing. Like, the Doctor was having his arc. She was having her arc. And he's like, I'm still twirling a mustache. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
knowing that like, his last moments were seeing them two interact kind of really explains why Missy becomes the way she does.
Yeah. And also why she doesn't remember being there. Because, I mean, I would think that when he goes and before he regenerates, he has to do some type of mind wipe. So that he doesn't, you know, realize that he is going to die the moment he transitions into this. It's like he knows his own future at this point.
The excuse now that has been, like, just Moffat is just, like, cementing, basically, is the timeline. Whenever two versions of a character are at the same place, the timelines are out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quote we've heard in the 50th and in this episode. Mm-hmm. The earlier version can't retain them, is what they keep saying. The earliest version of the character can't retain the memories.
Oh, okay.
Although what's interesting about what's interesting about this episode is, though, we see the Master pull a Bill and Ted, like, as far as logic goes, because they have a conversation that says, like, I'm going to be so mad at you, and you're going to have such an emotional reaction, you're going to always carry this one little
thing with you.
Yeah.
And which is why I have it right now.
Yeah.
And it was very Bill and Ted logic. It's something that I don't usually see in Doctor Who, but I guess they do it in Blank, then they do it in a couple of other stuff.
It more or less works.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
It's just kind of funny to be like, and I'm going to leave the keys under here, and here they are. It's that sort of like time jumping logic.
Yeah, well, you do that to yourself. I always go, ah, I'm going to do this for future me, and then months later, I'll be like, oh, I need an umbrella. Oh yeah, pass me to the rest.
It was such a perfect master ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sort of annoyed that Moffat seems to think he can, like, just perma-kill the Master.
But
he didn't.
Yeah,
I know, but it was like, he didn't have to say it. Like, he could have just left Missy there, dying, and, like, on a ship that exploded, and, like, we could, like, whatever, let future showrunners deal with it from there. But now, in order to use, if anyone ever wants to use the Master again, it's going to take heavy lifting.
Not really.
We don't see her, like, fully die.
And the Master lies. Yes. Just like the Doctor lies.
That's fair. Anyway, regardless of that, I thought it was like, the idea that the Master could stab his past self to kill him, to kill
in the back.
Himself.
Stabbed in the back.
And then shoot himself
and then
herself
in the back.
In the back.
Yeah.
Well, crossfire. It was it was perfect.
She knew he was going to regenerate. Like, she was like, I don't want to kill you. But,
I want to make me.
I want you out of the way. And he wanted to kill her, but we don't know what that vault's done to her. You know,
it's also kind of nice because she's like, listen, it's time we mature and become and stand with the doctor. In order for you to mature, you have to become me because I'm maturing. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm going to kill you now so you can become me. It is like
a logic that does so make much. Sense.
It's like coming out of your Breaking Bad. It's like, all right, well, I broke bad for most of my life.
And
now I got to come back.
And what's nice is like she does it in a hug. Like she still stabs him in the back, but still in a hug while he just like shoots her in the back. So it's very, they're aggressive in their each their own way. And that was kind of perfect.
I love how they laughed.
Yeah.
And she knew exactly what had happened in the moment and was just like, this is poetic.
Yeah. I think they did. I think they made that permanent thing just so it seems like because of that blank slate that you were talking about. So this way, like, they could treat it as a blank slate if they want, but they can also write it out easily as they
I forget who it was, but somebody tweeted at me because, like, the theory that we've been, like, yelling about.
I know.
I took so heavy over. Like, I was just like, this is the best thing ever. Master Doctor Traveling Season. It's like,
I know.
That theory went out the TARDIS door.
I wish. It almost like if she had kept walking and didn't get shot in the back, it could have become.
It was right there.
It was so right close. There.
Right there.
Who knows? Maybe
the Christmas special will save her.
I think she's going to be gone for a while, and when she does come back, it's going to be like a big reveal.
Michelle Gomez is done. She's not going to
Michelle back. Gomez is done, but the master slash Missy in whatever form he or she takes in the future.
Yeah.
Right.
But, okay, so that's more or less the episode. We got like some fun stuff with Nardal. Mm-hmm. Saying goodbye. Nardal's, he's so strong.
Did you get, for one brief moment, because Nardal was talking about, you know me, if I'm left with more humans in a room,
with
I'm going to
start,
like,
more people in a room.
I'm going to start a black market. And I guess he does come from, like, kind of bad roots. Mm-hmm. He broke bad, like, before River and everything. But for a second... First, and I'm not saying this is a theory of what I believe, but for a second, I thought they were about to reveal that Nardal is a third master, and he has been the companion for, as we've been talking about, this entire time. And I would be like, if they reveal that, it would be so stupid, but kind of wonderful.
I mean, they explicitly go out of their way to say, Missy doesn't remember if the master goes directly to her. So it could have been Master... Nardal?
It could have been Missy Nardal this entire time. Just been keeping, like, former... I don't know.
Wow.
I think that's dumb and not the case, but for a second, as soon as he said that black market thing, he's like, look at me. It's me. It's me. And I was like, oh, who is Nardal? Because we don't really know. I mean, Nardal's been great.
He's just sort of like a shifty, really smart... Dude, he was River Song's companion.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, River is not like... River, we met River when she was like... Or not when we met her, but like early River was like in jail half the time.
Yeah.
She was kind of piratey.
Her companion would have to be along those lines. Yeah. And that's where Nardal comes from.
So I guess that's why. And I do like that he finds a lady. I do like how he kind of...
That lady was so into Nardal.
Yeah.
I think she likes you. She's only human.
Yeah.
Swagger.
And also the I'll try anything once. It kind of reminded me of Some Like It Hot. Like the end of Some Like It Hot.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of... It
when
was
he's like,
nice...
I'm a man. He's like,
yeah,
nobody's
no
perfect.
No one's perfect. Like, one of the best endings of a movie of all time.
So I was just talking about that on a road trip with someone like 2 days ago.
So why don't we... Should we move into some like official predictions before we wrap out the season?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I know we're running low on time. Thank you to our engineer, Mark, for giving us a couple extra minutes to wrap out this...
I love y'all.
This surprise, like, extra long episode that no one knew about.
It's like, it's an hour and a half?
Yeah. So what are you guys thinking as we move into the Christmas special?
Right. Well, the only thing I can think of is that it is going to be a discussion about coming to someone's end by talking to someone's beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's... I don't know what the actual, you know, fun will be in the episode, but I know what the drama will be, and I think it's him dying and coming to his own death, coming to terms with his own death.
I hope midway through he, or maybe less, within the last 5 minutes, all I really want is for the doctor to change into a woman and to immediately grab his boobs.
Yeah, right? Because, right? I was thinking the same exact thing. It's funny. Because,
you know, like, that's what, you know.
Yeah. When you suddenly become a woman, it's what,
I have to do.
I am a woman. And I mean, if I turned into a man, the first thing I grab is my junk. Like, that's, I'd be like, yeah. Oh, huh.
That's what that's like.
The new parts right away.
Yeah. Immediately go for the new parts. So that'd be cute.
What if he gets to be, and I don't know, I'm not, so yeah, I don't have any casting that would, like, fall in line with this, but a ginger woman. Finally gets the ginger, but now he's a woman.
God, if he could be Jessica Chastain, I would be, that would give me life. I would be all for it.
So. Jacob Albers, I agree. Jacob says, I think the Christmas special will lead directly to the 10th planet, which is similar to what, like, what I was saying before. I think for the first Doctor, that is effectively what's going to happen there. I think it's going to be about the two of them. I think this lines up with Christmas time, finding the meaning of life.
Yeah.
Like, discussing, like, what is the meaning... Like, death, like, what more apt time than death to discuss the meaning of life?
Yeah.
And moving forward, maybe we'll get... Maybe we'll see some sort of... What does Gallifreyan Christmas look like? Yeah. Like, what if they...
Their life day?
What if they bring... Yeah, what if they bring Christmas to Gallifrey for the first time? Oh. The first Doctor and the last Doctor. Yeah. Bringing Christmas. Don't do that.
Please don't
please
do that.
Don't do that. Hanukkah special, maybe. Don't do what I just said.
Yeah. I would like it if the Doctor... Capaldi ended up being the one who had to talk Hartnell's doctor into regenerating, and through that kind of learns, like, why he has to change. Yeah. And then, like, and I want that to just be, like, the first 10 to 15 minutes, and the rest, like, is him regenerating and then falling into a new adventure.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a nice mirroring moment when Bill turned to the Doctor, and I was like, oh, yeah, you can see it coming. You could see it in his eyes, because Peter Capaldi's amazing, of just, like, I don't want to be me. I don't want to be alive if I can't, if I'm no longer me.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, the understanding he had of that feeling, and also kind of being like, I don't want to, I don't want to be anyone else. I want to be this version of me. So I think him having to convince the William Hartnell version to go back, and also just getting a better understanding of what regeneration is, why it happens, and why that's been something that the Time Lords have decided, or however it was done. Like, the origin of regeneration is something I'd love to hear.
Oh, interesting.
Wait, I just had a thought. So what we just saw is the Doctor being like, no, I'm not going to do that. Old man, angry. And then a ghost of the past walked into his life.
Different ghosts of the past.
Ghost of the past, ghost of the present. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that'll be. And then... at one point in this, when he's saying, he says, doctor, let it go. Time enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I took that as him talking to his future self as, like, doctor, like, you're going to have your time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's going to be like Christmas Carol.
I think we're going to do a Christmas Carol with Capaldi's Doctor.
Oh, maybe go into the future and see, like, Not the next Doctor, but the Doctor after that, or a Doctor that so far will never actually get to that point.
Yeah. Like, I thought we did the Christmas Carol with Matt
they
Smith.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
Okay.
But this did is like we? The but Doctor this... taking it on.
But yeah, I don't mean, like, directly. I meant it more like...
Got it.
Yeah.
Like...
Metaphorical.
Yeah, metaphorical. Yeah.
I hope there's that... Go ahead.
There is also a rumor that this the Christmas special is going to take us back to the Time War.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least we're going to see Capaldi go through,
right.
When we saw the all 13 moment, we'll actually see his perspective on that.
I would like to see if the new Doctor's introduced in the Christmas special. I hope we get a good amount of time or lines to kind of get introduced to this new character.
Yeah.
So we kind of know. So it's not just, oh, woman, boobs, gun. Like,
I hope it's just that. I hope she goes, oh, nice, and it cuts to black.
Right. Well, that would even be inform the character. That would actually inform the character. Yep. So I just want to be able to like know who this next person is.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not just like looks up, it's a new face, and we cut to black. Right. Yeah. That's not what I want.
The chat has their thoughts on who the other ghosts could be. Bill, watery Bill could be ghost of present. Let's be honest, as soon as you said that, I realized what it really would be. It's going to be Clara is the ghost of Christmas present, because she's still out there
with me,
and it's Moffat who's going to bring her back. I almost guarantee you Clara will be in this special, and you know that I'm not rooting for that. I'm just like, I can't imagine Moffat won't do it.
It might be a nice, like, goodbye sort of
thing. Yeah, just deal with that storyline so never has to be addressed again.
You know what? If you want to go back to 1940s Manhattan, I'm more than happy to see Amy Pond again. Yeah. But that's it.
No, leave them alone. That was a great poetic ending.
It was beautiful. Just, you don't have to do it.
Leave it alone, River. Moffat.
I'm just saying, not Clara. Bring back River. Yeah, anyone.
Or, yeah.
Anyone. Bring back Donna. Or you know Vastra. What? Anyone.
Like, yeah. And then so, they were also saying Tom Baker's curator, if he made another appearance, could be the ghost of Christmas future in this version of it.
Because we already kind of know it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah. Right. So that's not like she, and it's like vague enough that like you do it without like hurting anything, breaking anything from the future.
Yeah.
Right. Any other theories before we wrap out, guys? Crazy wild swings at what the heck is going to happen in our... When, as it said on the screen, the doctors will return.
Missy will come back and be the companion for this whole next season.
Oh. Capaldi will shoot the first doctor in the face with regeneration energy, killing him, and then he'll put on his face, and then the whole rest of the show is Peter Capaldi pretending to be the first doctor.
It's just reruns of the whole thing.
But they superimpose Peter Capaldi's face every so often.
Yeah.
Under a Patrick Troughton mask.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
Yes.
Adrian,
I think it's nice that it is kind of like a closed loop. Like, we are kind of going back to the beginning and...
Surprise twist! Show's canceled!
The Doctor always had to come to this moment in order for the first Doctor to go through regeneration.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for the Doctor Who After Show at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you for taking this journey through time and space with us all season. It has been a blast to talk Doctor Who with you guys and also with you guys in the chat. But we will be back in 5.5 months or whatever it is. Months and like 20 days. So that we can discuss
Christmas
special. No, we usually do it like 3 or 5 days after. Studio is not open on Christmas.
Yeah.
We come back like whenever we can. But we will absolutely be talking about the Christmas special when it comes back. So please be on the lookout for that in December.
We'll tweet it.
And you can find those tweets if you follow us all on Twitter. Please do so. Please continue to talk Doctor Who with us in the off season. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. And also, I've just started up the Killjoys After Show. If you're watching that on Sci-Fi, and there might be some time travel-y, but interdimensional travel-y Rick and Morty stuff coming down the pipeline. Stay tuned for that. In late July.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, TauriJay. That's on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey! You can find me at MR Dave Child on Twitter and Instagram. And also go to DaveChild.com. My name is Dave Child. Also, I'm on Preacher After Show, so catch me there on Mondays.
Hi guys, I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. It's MSADRINSNOW. I'm also on the Unproduced Table Read on Fridays on Popcorn Talk. I might stop in and say hello for a Preacher this Monday. Maybe, maybe not, but maybe I'll be there throughout the season. hopefully someday Outlander will come back and I'll do that too. And then I'm also in Wolfenstein 2, so play that video game. All right.
Nice. All right, guys. This has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.